The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
We are coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. May I tell you the story that everybody in the region has been talking about is a few days ago, surveillance video inside an Office Depot store was released down in Lacey, and it shows Tim Eyman just kind of sitting in a chair that was on display. He spins around a few times, then he just wheels the chair out to his vehicle, apparently loaded it in the vehicle. Then he went back in the store and bought a couple of printers, but he did not pay for the chair. And so the Lacey City prosecutor has now filed a shoplifting charge against Tim Eyman. And his lawyers released a statement yesterday and said that Mr. Eyman will not be talking to the media. But he's going to talk to us, Nicole? You told me that Tim's coming on with us this afternoon.
Yes, he's got a plan for today, and he'll have some news to break to us at 2 o'clock.
Okay, so we'll try to get an explanation for the story that the entire region has been talking about. Did Tim Eyman shoplift a chair, as has now been alleged in legal documents by the Lacey City prosecutor? So he will join us live a little bit later this afternoon. Can't wait to see what he's going to say about all of this.
Oh, it's going to be good. I got a little preview.
Well, you're kind of being coy about this whole thing with me. You said that it's there's something kind of
sworn to secrecy.
There's something kind of odd with this whole thing.
Yeah, he's trying to have fun with it. So we'll see how it goes.
With a shoplifting charge. He's trying to have fun with a shoplifting charge. Okay. All right.
Of course. Yes.
Okay. So you will be as surprised as I, I'm sure, when we talk to him live a little bit later this afternoon. But we've got a lot of other news to get to. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
I've talked a lot. It's odd how every second of my life has seemed to be contrarian. My wife and I were just going through some childhood photos, and there's a picture of me and my little friend, Christina. I'm about 3 years old, and we're visiting Santa Claus at Northgate. And she looks delighted. I look like I'm staring at a freak show because I did not ever believe in Santa Claus. Even when I was 3 years old, my mom desperately tried to get me to believe, and I wouldn't. It didn't make any sense to me. I logically could not make the Santa thing work. And so even when I was 2 and 3 years old, I just refused, despite my mom's best efforts, to believe in Santa. I've always been a bit of a contrarian. When I was a little kid, Seattle was about lumberjacks and fishermen and self-sufficiency. We'll take care of our own lives. And I grew up contrary to that. Yeah, no dad, no money. Mom was hoping for some miracle in the mail that would never arrive, Publisher's Clearinghouse or something like that. So again, when I was a little kid, when the whole city was independence and self-sufficiency, I was growing up with, we need a miracle. We need to get lucky. We need somebody to take care of us. And then I get into my later teens, and I woke up, and I realized, well, nobody else is going to take care of me. Government isn't going to make my life, it's not going to allow me to achieve any hopes and dreams that I might have. And so I said, okay, I'm going to get into goal setting and self-sufficiency and just outworking my competition, and I'll work 2 or 3 jobs. And I'll go to college full time while I'm working 2 or 3 jobs. And right at that time, The Seattle area goes 180 degrees opposite again. We went from a self-sufficient lumberjack fisherman, I'll take care of my own life city, to a city that we have now. Socialist, Marxism, other people will take care of me. I don't have to work. Government will provide for me. If I'm not willing to work, they'll just give me free stuff. But it's just, it's weird that almost every second of my life, I've seemed to be contrary to the tone and the rhythm of this region. And I bring all of this up because the last few days have just reinforced what is the danger of this socialist Marxist ideal. We've got a lot of people who just want free stuff. They're too lazy to go and achieve on their own. They are not willing to outwork their competition. They don't have time to get a second job if their first job isn't quite paying the bills. They could get a second job. There's jobs available out there. You can work 60, 70, 80 hours a week, and you can take care of yourself. But no. The politician's message is, no, just vote for us. You can be as lazy, as slothful as you want, and government will barely take care of you. And that's the key. Barely take care of you. Because they want you to be beholden to them. They want you to just barely be able to survive. So if they cut you off, then you're not going to be able to get by anymore. So you'll have to keep voting for the socialist Marxists. Because the only other option for the people who vote for them is, I'd have to start working harder. And people don't want to do that. I've noticed this the last few days as we have had, both locally and nationally, a mania for the left to just be promising free stuff to people. And may I tell you what, Jenny Durkin, she had her State of the City speech yesterday. And I played some of these clips during yesterday's show. But the whole message was, I will give you free stuff.
Give more than 1,500 low-income residents an unlimited year-round ORCA card.
Yes, I will provide you transportation. Just keep voting for me. I know. They could work a second job, and they could pay for their own transportation. But no. Why? Why? If Jenny Durkin's going to give you free transportation, she'll give you free college.
I want to get free college tuition for every graduate of Seattle Public School to build economic opportunity for those kids.
Now, again, it's not free. It's taking somebody else's money, making people pay for other people's kids. But she will give it to you for free. You could pay for your own community college. I've gone through the numbers. If high school juniors started working summertimes and two evenings a week, starting their junior year in high school, they could easily set aside enough money to pay for their own college. As I said, I worked 50 hours a week, and I had to go to community college. I couldn't even think about the UW when I graduated high school. We didn't have the money. I didn't have the money. So I worked 50 hours a week at a print shop, and I paid for my own Shoreline Community College. But no. Vote for Jenny. She'll give you free stuff. Nationally, the Democrats, they will give you free stuff. You want health care? We'll give it to you.
People often say, like, how are you going to pay for it? And I find the question so puzzling because How do you pay for something that's more affordable? How do you pay for cheaper rent? How do you pay for it? You just pay for it.
You just pay for it. Government will just pay for it. You want rent? We'll give it to you. You want Medicare? We'll give it to you. Just vote for the Democrat socialists. Right? Right, Bernie?
Bernie Sanders and I will work together to make college tuition free for the middle class.
Yeah.
And debt free for all.
Yes, debt free. Again, you can do it yourself. But why? Why should you have to do it yourself? Government will allow you to just barely scrape by. Right, Elizabeth Warren?
I'm proposing a big structural change. Universal, high-quality child care and early education for our littlest ones. Available to every parent who wants it.
For free! Yes, you crank out a kid or two or three. Why should you have to take care of your own kids? Why in the world should you as a parent have to be responsible for your own children if Elizabeth Warren will give you other people's money to pay for your choice to have kids? So these are the wondrous times that we're at right now, where self-sufficiency, outworking your competition, working a second or a third job, all of those are dated, outmoded, old-fashioned, ridiculous ideas. Why work if the Dems will give you everything for free? What a wondrous land this will be when the Marxists fully take over. Isn't that awesome? Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
I had somebody reach out to me on Twitter last night because there was a news story about how tolling every inch of every road in the region is a step closer to reality. Now, and somebody forwarded it to me on Twitter and said, "You're Nostradamus." No, I had really good sources. I am proud of the specificity with which we called this, because it was 2000, the year 2000, when my sources told me about the 20-year plan to toll every road in the region. I had great sources who sat in on these meetings. And here we are 19 years later, and the state is very close to making that happen. Now, again, they are disguising it because other than the listeners to this show, the masses seem to be pretty dumb around here. So even the most moronic of politicians can outthink the most moronic of voters. And so the state of Washington is a step closer to a pay-per-mile driving program where they'll keep the gas tax. They might lower it, but they'll keep the gas tax. And then they say they're going to start at 2.4 cents per mile. So if you have an electric car, you will pay the same as somebody who has a 13-mile-a-gallon gas-guzzling SUV. Because apparently they don't want to reward the energy conservers anymore. They used to want that. They used to say, hey, get an electric car and you won't have to pay the second highest gas tax in the country. Now it's, oh yeah, we got to find a way to soak the electric car owners too. But I have told you that this is just the start if we allow this to happen. There are a couple of ways that they're trying to get inside of our vehicles and inside of our lives. They want a transponder in every vehicle. And so every inch you drive, they'll know where you drove, when you drove it. And the eventual goal is to make it cost $20 to go into downtown Seattle and 20 cents to take your kid to school. But they want variable tolling on every road. And they said, no, we're just going to start at 2.4 cents per mile for every mile, regardless of where you're driving. No, I've been telling you about this for almost 20 years now. It's unfolding at exactly the timetable that I told you about way back when, and everything that I've said about this has been 100% accurate, that they want to just get the transponders in the vehicles, make you think it's just going to be 2.4 cents a mile, and then they will very quickly move to doing variable tolling so that if you're driving in morning and afternoon rush hour, you will get soaked. Perhaps as much as $10 to $20 a day. $20 a day. $5,000 a year that would go from your family to the government per driver. We got a husband and a wife. I'm sorry, a couple. Not supposed to specify gender. No, you got a husband and wife, and you're both driving. Maybe it's $10,000 that you'll have to transfer from your family to the government. Do not be fooled by the 2.4 cents per mile that they're talking about, because that's exactly what they are discussing in Olympia right now. And they're hoping that people will let their guard down. And this is one of the greatest fights of my radio career, because I know that this will be the most massive transfer of tax money from families in this state to government control. And their desire for your money is absolutely insatiable. And if we let this happen, then shame on us. Because it will, man, it will absolutely destroy a lot of families financially if we allow the paper mile to go through. So I will keep posted on how we must fight this, but fight we must. And we much and will much fight much, as the Reverend Al would say. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
There's a protest at Patty Murray's U.S. Senate office in downtown Seattle yesterday. You probably didn't hear much about it unless you listened to my show. Actually, I think one TV station did cover it after I tried shaming them all yesterday. Details coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. A couple of weeks ago, I was amazed at the lack of coverage in the Seattle media when Patty Murray, senator from Washington, stood up in the Senate. Ben Sasse, the senator from Nebraska, he wanted to introduce a motion that would make it clear that if a baby is born alive, that the doctor and the mom cannot let it die. If it is born alive. And he thought, well, we can get unanimous acclamation. Of course, everyone's going to agree that we can't let born alive babies just die. But Patty Murray, senator from Washington, was the one person who stood up in opposition to that proposal.
Please don't block this legislation.
Mr. President.
Senator from Washington.
Mr. President, we have laws against infanticide in this country. This is a gross misinterpretation of the actual language of the bill that is being asked to be considered, and therefore I object.
Objection is heard.
With all due respect, Mr. President.
Senator from Nebraska.
To the senator from Washington, the bill that we're talking about before this body tonight is because New York and Virginia, New York already, and Virginia in debate are having a conversation about removing exactly these protections.
And that is exactly what is going on. You heard the governor of Virginia specifically say that if the baby's born alive, we'll keep it comfortable, and then the mom and the doctor will have a conversation about whether to let the baby die or not. And it's shocking to me that Patty Murray would object, but it's a news story regardless. However, none of the local media, except for my radio show, covered that Patty Murray story in the U.S. Senate. And then yesterday, there was a protest at Patty Murray's office led by pro-life students, and their Northwest Regional Coordinator is Katie Logic, who joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, Katie, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Tell me the reason why you gathered to protest at Patty Murray's office.
So yesterday we gathered in front of Patty Murray's Seattle office to protest the fact that she single-handedly stopped the Born Alive Infant Protection Act a couple weeks ago. This act would have required that medical doctors give medical attention to infants that were born alive after abortions. And I mean, we're not
after
talking about
attempted abortions. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So these are abortions that the baby did, was born and was, it survived the abortion. And so we're talking about babies who are living, breathing on the table, infants. We're not like, this shouldn't be a controversial thing.
No, no, it shouldn't. And what I find amazing is that everybody in the media, as I said, except for my radio show, everybody ignored what happened in our U.S. Senate. And I find it shocking that the local media has decided as gatekeeper, because this does not reflect well on Patty Murray. And our local media has decided to just run interference for her and to protect her good name by not even covering the story. I found that amazing, Katie.
Yeah, I agree. It's a disgrace that we're not calling her out for stopping a bill that would protect infants from dying from abortion.
Yeah, well, and this has become quite the mania among Democrats, as Virginia, New York, Rhode Island would be the most extreme. But they've all introduced these late-term abortion bills. And as I've said, you know, we could have an argument about whether life begins at conception or at viability. But I don't think anybody could argue that at 39 weeks, that's not a person. I mean, these are babies that have hair and have hiccups inside the mom. And this has become the new passionate gambit by the Democrats to try. I mean, we already have 12,000 late-term abortions a year in the United States. That's a pretty significant number for what is clearly at that point a human being.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I mean, this law, it wasn't even talking about abortions or babies before they were born. These are talking about infants who are already born, who are here in this world, who are living and breathing, and you know.
It's amazing to me. How many did you get any press attention at your protest yesterday?
We did get a little bit of attention from Como 4 News.
Okay,
they were there, and there was like a little segment on the evening news last night.
Okay. Yeah, and they, I couldn't find that when I did a search, but I saw that every TV station, the newspapers, they all covered a protest of Trump's emergency wall declaration. There were Seattle protests on Monday, and they got all kinds of attention, and yet your protest for, you know, human life, it gets relatively no attention, and it... you know, like I said, I think that's the shame. Good for Channel 4 for being there. But it's like you're having trouble bringing attention to your issue when other protests in our city get they have no problem getting on the evening news.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the right to life is the most essential right that we all have. And so I think it's very important that we're talking about this and protecting the most innocent among us, especially babies who are born alive.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the key point, is that this deals with the babies after they've been born. They're outside of the mama. It's really incredible. Why do you think this has become such a wildfire point of interest for Democrats? State after state has been, I mean, New York lit up the sky when they passed the late-term bill a few weeks ago. They had lights shining on the Empire State Building and on their bridges in celebration of it. Why do you think this has become such a a point of celebration for the left?
So I think that they see that they're losing. We are winning in the pro-life movement, and we just did a poll, actually, Students for Life did, and found that only 7% of millennials actually agree with the Democratic's platform on abortion. And this platform is that abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy for whatever reason. And only 7% of millennials actually agree with that. I mean, they may identify as pro-choice, but they agree that we should have some restrictions on abortion. So I really think that they're passing these laws in these states because they're really scared that we're getting very, very close to outlawing abortion in our country.
Well, yeah, and 37% of Americans believe in restrict. I mean, in total, not just millennials, but 37% when they are asked about late term in particular, they are only 37% are in favor, 63% opposed. So yeah, it's interesting that they're rushing through legislation to try to get laws passed that the American people, the majority, do not want.
Mm-hmm. They're very extreme laws. I mean, abortion on demand for any reason whatsoever, that's a very extreme position.
Oh, yeah.
And not many Americans agree with that.
No.
They're not really representing their constituents.
The Virginia, New York laws, and Rhode Island has proposed one even more extreme. All they need is one doctor. It used to be three, and it used to be if the mother's health was in jeopardy. But now it can be if one doctor says that the mom's mental health might be impacted, meaning she'll be depressed. If one doctor says that, then they can do whatever they want up to, you know, the point of labor. And it's amazing. Well, Students for Life, they are the ones who gathered at Patty Murray's office yesterday to protest our senator's role in all of this. And keep up the good fight, Katie. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, Katie Logic. She is the Northwest Regional Coordinator for Students for Life. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text us at 98973. That's 98973. That's the Online Trading Academy text line. We have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. But do you want a classic example of just how far left media bias is? I mean, we have classic examples every single day. But the Fox Network, just this afternoon, has issued a statement in support of Jussie Smollett, the actor on Empire, who, by all accounts, apparently faked a hate crime. And what he alleged was that, you know, both racial and homophobic slurs were yelled at him by two men in the middle of the night. Turns out the two brothers were not white, as he said. They were Nigerian. They were extras on the show Empire. They worked out together. He followed them on social media. And they say he hired them to fake the attack. There have been 12 cops and the FBI involved in the investigation of this fake hate crime. Well, this afternoon, the Fox Network released a statement, 20th Century Fox. They deny the claims that Jussie Smollett is being written out of the show Empire. In the statement, they said, Jussie Smollett continues to be a consummate professional on set, and as we have previously stated, he is not being written out of the show. I want you to compare that to what happened to Roseanne, for example. She had the number one show in America, and she made a very stupid attempt at humor on Twitter, but she quickly apologized sincerely for it. And she gets fired. Her career destroyed. Her show gone. I mean, it carried on with the other actors, but she's gone from the show. Megyn Kelly said something about blackface on Halloween when she was a child. She gets fired from NBC. They have to eat $69 million that was due Megyn Kelly. She's receiving that money. So if you talk about blackface on Halloween when you were a child 40 years ago, you lose your career. If you make a little joke on Twitter, a stupid joke, but if you make a joke and then apologize for it, you lose your career if you are considered to be somewhat conservative. But if you are a gay black actor and you commit, if the brothers are correct in this, in their statement that he hired them, that would be a felony to fake a hate crime. You've taken, I don't know how many hundreds of man hours of Chicago police time. I saw a little six-year-old girl who was murdered in Chicago yesterday. Wouldn't it be nice if the cops were freed up? The hundreds of hours they've spent on Jussie Smollett. Wouldn't it be nice if they were freed up to work on the murder of a six-year-old girl? But you fake a hate crime and then remain adamant when your story didn't have any credibility to begin with. And then everything we have found out since just reinforced those of us who thought the story sounded phony from the get-go. But you fake a hate crime, you hire a couple of guys to have a bleach and a rope at 2 in the morning to pretend to beat you up. You may have committed a felony, and you get the studio to stand behind you and talk about what a professional you are. I tell you what, if he was not, you know, the epitome of liberal causes, if he wasn't a gay black actor, he'd be gone. But instead, they send out a statement. And then we find out that a little more than a decade ago, same guy, Jussie Smollett, sounds like a real quality person. He was pulled over in Los Angeles for a DUI. He told the police that he was his younger brother, Jake. And then he signed the police papers when he got pulled over, Jake Smollett. And then when he went to court on that, he pleaded no contest to providing false information, driving under the influence, and driving without a valid license. So he was willing to throw his own brother to the wolves by claiming he was him during a DUI. And when you plead no contest, it means you have nothing to refute what you're being charged with. And 20th Century Fox this afternoon just released a statement talking about how he's not being written out of the show and that he's a consummate professional. There's a little media bias, him versus Megyn Kelly and Roseanne. Fastest 15 next.